Hello, Nashville, and welcome to Business as Usual, Nashville's favorite business podcast. My name is Bailey. I'm the adult librarian at the Donaldson Branch Library.
And I'm Corey. I'm the manager of the Goodlettsville Branch.
And we are here with Dr. Charleston Bell, the iCORE Hub Director at National Science Foundation's Mid-South Innovation Hub at Vanderbilt University. Kind of a mouthful there. How are you doing today?
Hey, you know, if you would believe this, that's only like two lines of the title. So
okay.
we got lucky today.
You got us off easy with this one.
Yeah, we got lucky.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. Dr. Bell, we're just going to head right into these questions. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sounds good. So I'm Charleston Shard Bell. I'm the iCORE Hub Director. So that's the Mid-South iCORE Hub. And what iCORE is a National Science Foundation program. And what we do is we transform innovators into entrepreneurs so that they could take deep technologies from institutions of higher education or their minds or research or things like that and bring them into society through entrepreneurship. And so when you bring those things into society, you can then create positive impact, whether that be societal in general, whether that be economic, or even just improving the dignity of people by creating value. So that's what the program is all about. And basically what the program has done is, you know, we've transformed for every one federal dollar of money spent, you know, we've 100x that plus economic impact. And so that's a huge impact. And that's not just on, oh, we're doing great business, but it's also improving the quality of life for everyday people. So that's kind of what we're working on. That's what NSF is. That's what the National Science Foundation is working on. That is the iCORE program, the Innovation Core. And so what the Mid-South Hub is that the Mid-South Hub is a collection of institutions. And so the iCORE program is basically brought into, you know, you'll take a bunch of institutions of higher education that have banded together, and we're all about how do we commercialize this technology and then how can we create shared prosperity across our region. And so that's where this hub structure came from. And there are 13 hubs like the Mid-South Hub all across the country. We'll get into that a little later.
Yeah.
A little bit more about me is I'm actually a triple door. What that means is I did my undergrad, master's, and PhD at Vanderbilt University.
Well, there you go.
And then I have a small claim to fame on campus. So I'm the first graduate student in Vanderbilt history to raise venture capital for a startup in grad school.
That's awesome.
So I put my PhD on hold. I moved to Memphis, Tennessee to take the venture capital money, built a business out there, launched a laboratory during the day. I'd be meeting mentors, doing the business, running operations, and at night I'd be in a laboratory running the experiments. I'm a nanotechnologist by training.
Okay, cool.
And then I moved to Silicon Valley, and I lived in Silicon Valley for about a year. And that's where I got my first immersive experience into what an innovation ecosystem actually is. Like, what is that
sure.
mean? And after feeling that, I remember being there and thinking two things. Number one, when I was there, I had this feeling that said, because I'm here, I feel like anything is possible. I can create anything. I can do anything that's on my mind. Like I had that innovative spirit fill me up. But then the second thought that I had is, why can't I have this back at home? Why can't we do this like where I'm from?
Right? Yeah.
And so that was in my subconscious when I came back from Silicon Valley and I joined the faculty at Vanderbilt after finishing my PhD. And then got the opportunity to work with the iCORE program. And then that's when the iCORE program, you know, transformed into this hub model. And that's kind of, you know, that's the lore of kind of how all that happened. A few more things, side things. I think it's important from like an innovation perspective to not just be all about what your focus is on work, but to be doing other things. So I also work on music. So I've been composing music since I was 12. And so I'm super into that right now. So if I'm not at the gym, if I'm not lifting weights, I'm not at work, I'm probably in my making music. So that's just a little introduction about, you know, my history as far as innovation and then also some things I do on the side.
So triple door and a troubadour.
just had to make that connection.
Right.
All right. So tell us a little bit more about National Science Foundation, where it sort of started. I mean, a little bit of history on it, and then the Mid-South Innovation Hub.
Yeah, well, you know, National Science Foundation has been around for a long time. It's a stalwart of the federal government. It's an agency. The iCORE program itself, the Innovation Core, has been around for a little longer than maybe a decade. And, you know, it really got started to people are trying to understand how you can take all of this complex research and transform it into something that can help everyday people in society. And if you look at the history of commercialization, if you look at the history of people starting companies and doing entrepreneurship, a lot of that stuff seems random. So is there a process that we can teach people to help transform their mindset from just doing research and publishing papers and training students? Is there a process that we can teach them to take the scientific method that they use every day in research and apply that scientific method towards business so that they can bring that research, put it into a commercial form with a sustainable business model, and then bring that to the people who need it, who will value it, who will pay for it,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's the basis of where the Innovation Corps, the iCorps program came from. It started as a small training cohort, 7-week boot camp. I'll be honest, it's kind of funny. I don't think it's accidental that it's called Innovation Corps, because yeah. like, if you think about all the other corps that you go through and all the other things in the military, you got to go through a boot camp process
mm-hmm. yeah.
to get your mind right when it's time to actually go to theater. Well, it's the same kind of mindset here. If you're a faculty member or you're a student, you need to get your mind right and your process in place before you stand in front of an investor, before you go to the federal government asking for money. You yeah. have to be prepared. Mm-hmm. You can't show up as you are because you need extra training and to understand things. And so that's where that Innovation Corps boot camp came from. And then that became the national program. Over the past 10 years, that became the national program. And basically what happens is to get into the national program, the federal government will fund you $50,000.
Okay.
$50,000 for you to go through this intense 7-week boot camp and learn the process to understand what the customer needs are so that then you as the innovator can transform your research into a product or solution that solves those customer needs that fit inside of a business model and that you can take to market and then talk about it mm-hmm. in that sort of way. And so, and I'll tell you from my personal experience as an entrepreneur, nobody out here is just giving you $50,000.
Right.
Here's $50,000 for your business. See yeah. you later. That's not a thing.
$50,000 and go to class.
And go, right. Here's some training and money,
yeah.
right? So this is a very unique opportunity and it takes a lot of effort to reach the point where you can get into the national program, and there's only so many spots to go through that 7-week mm-hmm. program. But then about maybe 2026 now already, wow. You know, I think it was maybe about 7 years ago, there was ideation on there needs to be a greater infrastructure. Instead of just having teams come from different places, there needs to be an innovation infrastructure that we can reach out into the general populace across all geographies and find these technologies, these innovators that have these potential solutions that can really revolutionize the way we live our lives. And that's why the iCorps hubs were founded. So instead of just having this national program that's kind of centralized around what the federal government is doing, now institutions of higher education are forming these consortia,
yeah.
and we're all working together in our regional geographies to form our own innovation ecosystems. And so that ties back to what I said earlier before when I had that subconscious thought process of why can't we have this here? Well, that was instrumental in how we developed the values, the strategy, and the vision for the Mid-South iCorps Hub. It came from that. A network of institutions banding together across the region to create an environment anyone can come and have that feeling that says anything is possible and I have the power, the knowledge, and the wherewithal to create something of value that can help people. And here's a process yeah. that I can follow. So that's yeah. where like the whole notion of the NSF iCorps program kind of came from. And that's how the iCorps hub system came to be. Instead of it just being this national program that, you know, different people will come from, now we have a network infrastructure of institutions all across the nation recruiting people into these training programs, scouting out new technologies, putting them into the training programs, and connecting them to other capital sources and other ecosystem players forming these networks all across America.
Very cool. Very
yeah. cool. And you kind of touched on it, but how did it come to Vanderbilt specifically? How did this yeah. hub get end up here in Nashville?
Oh man, so it's a funny story. So when I came back to Vanderbilt, there was a place at Vanderbilt. It's Vanderbilt's Innovation Center. It's called the Wondery.
Okay.
And that's a place on campus that people go to when they have ideas and things like that. And I just, this is right when I got back to Vanderbilt, and it was after entrepreneurship and a lot of, we could talk a whole nother podcast about all the stories and the downfalls and the trepidations I went through the entrepreneurial journey. But hey, on this certain day, I happened to be sitting outside the Wondery, a little downtrodden about what had been going on, because that's what happens with entrepreneurship sometimes.
Sure.
And the director at the time walked by. He was like, "Hey, are you Charleston Bell?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Don't you have a company?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Look, oh yeah, you know, we're looking for people that kind of think the way you think and commercializing things. You should check out this program. It's called iCore." And I'm like, "I'm not trying to do another accelerator. I just can't do another program." And he looked at me and he said, "There's a $50,000 stipend." I was like, "Oh, yeah, let me go ahead and take your card. Let me take your
Makes
card.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'll do that." So then when I got introduced to the iCore program and saw what they were actually working on, there was a regional or local program at the Wondery that you had to go through first, and then you could get access to the national program. And there, that's where I met someone named Dina Metter. And so she was the one that was the point person running that program. And so when I met her, she told me this later. I met her and I told her a little of my story, and she was like, "Keep my eye on this one," right?
Yeah.
And so over time, there was a person there that was helping shepherd teams into the national program, and he left and moved to San Francisco, where I had just come from. It was funny.
There you go.
So I remember he sent me an email saying, "Hey, I'm leaving. I'm going to San Francisco. Good luck on your process." I wrote him back. I said, "Good luck. You know, I used to live in San Francisco. Go here. Don't go there." And sent the email. Hit compose and said, "Oh, hey, Dina, heard you needed some help with your program. I would love to help you." So then we joined forces. Both of us went through the national program, which really informed us of what iCore really was.
Yeah.
And we started retooling our local program. And after retooling our local program to fit more of the national feel, our teams were better prepared to go from our local program, our institutional program, to the national program. Yeah. Then COVID happened.
Ooh, yeah.
And I remember just sitting on the couch. I think we were all doing that.
Yeah.
And I got a
thing to do.
Exactly. And I got a Slack.
And wash your hands.
Exactly. Repeatedly.
Yeah.
And I got a Slack message from Dina, and she said, "Hey, can you have time to meet?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll talk to anybody." And so I jumped on the call with her, and she said, "You know, there's no reason why, you know, I just had to move this whole program virtual. There's no reason why now that we have to do a Zoom link that we can't send this out to other institutions across the region."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've just been doing Vanderbilt. We could send our link to some of the HBCUs. We can send it to Fisk. We can send it to TSU. Hey, we can send it to Belmont. We can send it to MTSU. We can send it to a lot of people and give more people an opportunity to be in the program. I'm like, "Oh, that's a great idea."
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. And then our program became a regional program. And concurrently at that time, that's when the NSF iCore program released this iCore hub model. And so you had to apply to be designated as a hub. Mm. And so there's a hub lead institution, and then there are partner institutions as part of these hubs. And so we decided to put in an application to be a lead institution because we had the preliminary evidence that showed that we operated a regional program already without like impetus from the government to say, "You need to run a regional program." No, we were already doing it. And then we had data to show the return on investment and the huge impacts that some of the undergrads that came through our program were making, real business, real impact. And so after applying for the iCore Hub designation, we were funded and given the iCore Hub Award. And so we launched, now we are 11 institutions.
Wow.
So we stretch over from Virginia to Kentucky to Tennessee, Mississippi, and Arkansas. So I like to say, you know, our hub covers the geography, and we stretch from, you know, the monuments of D.C., all the way down into the Delta of Mississippi, all the way into the Heartland.
Hmm.
And we are the innovation belt of America.
That's cool.
That's great.
So that's how the iCore Hub kind of came to be and why we got that designation. But it was really all around, can we create a place where someone from any background, somewhere from any place, you know, across the country, mm-hmm. could come to our program and feel like, oh, wait, this idea that I have, I can manifest it into something real and help real people. And then we give them that process. And that's what we've showcased.
Cool. Really cool. So digging in a little bit more there. So what types of programs are offered by the Hub and who can participate?
Yeah, so participation is wide open. So, you know, gosh, this is going to be public, but, you know, I'll put it this way. If you want to come into the Hub regional programs, just apply.
Okay.
It's like that. Just apply.
Yeah, easy as that.
You don't have to have some complex prototype made. You don't have to be working on some deep technology that's funded by DARPA. You could simply have an idea that you wrote on a notepad or on a napkin or in your mind. Come into the regional program. Yeah. You know, what we do is, so we have our regional I-Corps program at Vanderbilt. We have a Vanderbilt I-Corps program. We even collaborate with the Wondery. The Ideator program is a regional I-Corps program, and that program is known across the country. People, I get calls about it. Hey, how do I get into that Ideator program? Mm-hmm. And it's all about you showing up with the idea and then you learning the process to determine if your idea is actually solving a real problem or a need that your customers have. So next time, I'm going to give you all a little exercise. I didn't think y'all were going to leave a homework, right? But y'all, I'm a professor.
Hey, ask the questions.
Yeah,
we don't answer.
So, okay, yeah, I know. But next time you talk to somebody and someone comes to you, maybe you're having a good conversation and someone's coming to you with a business idea, I just want you to ask them one question. Or if you have a business idea, ask yourself this one question. Who is your customer? Just ask that one question. And the response to that question determines where you really are in the formulation of a business, because the majority of people have the business idea but don't know who the customer is.
Yeah.
And so what our program does is people come into our program and then that's one of the first things that we teach people. What is a customer? How do you find customers? How do you talk to customers to understand their needs without sharing your idea? What is that customer discovery process? A lot of people, your first thought is to run out and tell someone your idea and get feedback. And most of the time, people will say something like, oh, that's interesting. And then you leave that conversation. You're like, yes, I have a business. But really, that's a kiss of death. Because someone saying that something is interesting doesn't mean that they're going to pay. But instead, if you have a conversation with them and you understand what their problems are and their needs are, and then you say, hey, can I come talk to you later after I like think about some things? And they're like, yeah. And you come back with maybe like a doohickey that looks terrible, but actually solves the problem that they told you.
Yeah.
They might try to buy that, you know, terrible looking thing that you made right then, because it's solving a critical need that you discovered, and many other people don't go through that process to understand what those major pain points are. So that's the sort of process that we teach inside of our regional I-Corps program. And all of the institutions that are part of the I-Corps Hub, from the University of Virginia to George Mason University to University of Kentucky to University of Louisville, University of Tennessee Knoxville, Tennessee State University, Meharry Medical College, even down to Jackson State and over to University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, everyone runs a regional program. And so that's why I say, when we say this ecosystem that's forming, if you think about it, if you have 200, 300, 400 people go through that program, you're training a ecosystem of people who are thinking that way about solving problems. And then over time, that will compound to a place where you truly have an innovation ecosystem. So that's the idea. It's the I-Corps program. It's the regional I-Corps program. And every single school has their own unique brand around that.
Yeah.
But they're all regional I-Corps programs.
Cool. Very cool.
Great. And there's also a connection to Southwest, right? The
South by Southwest.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Happy to. I can be quick about it, too. So, you know, the South by Southwest is the, you know, that mega conference that combines tech and film and music. Happens in Austin, Texas every spring, you know, sometimes usually in March. And a lot of people come there from all across the country and outside the country to congregate and meet people. And so Dina had an idea where she said, what if, you know, we usually run our regional programs. So a little note about the regional programs. When you take the regional program, in order to finish the program and move to the next step, you have to complete at least 20 customer discovery interviews, which means that you have to go find 20 people and have that conversation with them that tries to understand what their needs are. You're not selling your product. You're trying to understand what their needs are. And it's funny. Telling someone they need to do 20 customer discovery interviews will quickly tell you if they're an entrepreneur or a wantrepreneur.
Yeah.
Right in that moment. Because if they're like, oh, I'm not going to talk to 20 customers. And it's like, well, don't you need customers for a business? Like, what are we doing here? But if someone's like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And they go out there and do that and they come back with real data and they're thinking about things and they're applying it. Oh, okay, I'm seeing the entrepreneur come out. At South by Southwest, instead of doing our cohorts virtually, we actually take students, faculty, staff, and people from the community on site. Cool. So they travel with us to South by Southwest, and we run an in-person cohort at South by Southwest. And those participants are required to do 50 customer discovery interviews in 5 days.
Wow. That's awesome.
And so that's so, yeah. You know, people hear the 50 and they're like, oh, how are you supposed to do that? It's like, well, you're at the conference. Yeah. People come to conferences to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm going to go on the street and try to talk to somebody. That could be awkward. But at a conference, I'm there to meet other people. So it's all about just starting the conversation. So we have had participants go through the South by Southwest. We ran it first as an ideator program. Remember I told you about the Wondery Vanderbilt ideator program. We talked about, we ran it first under that, and then we expanded it to include the entire iCorps hub and all the other institutions. And some of the participants said that experience was a life-changing for them. Life-changing. Not only because they got the experience to just go to South by Southwest and catch the vibe and meet people, but the people they interviewed. You know, if you're interviewing people right and you're asking the right questions, the interviewee is going to feel some, what's the word, catharsis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you tell your friend all your problems and all of a sudden you feel better. Well, that same feeling happens in a customer discovery interview from the customer standpoint. So a lot of times when you're doing it right, then the customer's like, wait a minute, why are you asking me these things? You need to tell me what you're doing. Yeah, because are you building something? And that starts creating that rapport and a relationship. And that's the beginning of that customer relationship. And some of these participants form those relationships to the point that this person then either became a mentor or a business partner or someone that then took them to other people. Mm-hmm. To facilitate introductions and partnerships that either exploded their company or their current idea they found out didn't work, but after they left the program, they had the training necessary for their next thing.
Yeah.
And then they were able to leverage those relationships to take that next initiative to the next level. So that's the power of the South by Southwest cohort, is that it's an immersive iCorps cohort. So they're out doing the 20 interviews in one day, and then they come back and they meet us in the evening. And so they sit down with us. We're trained instructors. Yep. I'm a nationally certified instructor and this sort of thing. And then we have that conversation. They're like, okay, these are the things I heard from the customer. This is why I think I've learned. And then we give them some coaching saying that, well, you know, what did this customer actually say? And then they go back through their notes and they're like, oh my gosh. They said this right. Oh, this is a golden nugget. No one else knows this. And so you can see the transformation happen.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. The power of an immersive cohort.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what is the CRIS program?
Yeah. So as background, we see the iCorps Hub as an infrastructure. It's an innovation infrastructure, a network, a foundation that other programs can be built on top of. So the idea was, you first start with the iCorps Hub to create this, you know, this this bubbling feeling of innovation, creativity, entrepreneurship. And there's a lot of people in the community that are thinking this way. And then they're forming startups and the startups are getting formed. And then we had the realization that said, well, if we're forming all these tech startups in the ecosystem, who's going to work there? We can't import people from, you know, Boston or San Francisco or something. That's cost prohibitive. So what we need to do is we need to train the people in our community and transform them into the workforce of the future. So that is what CREST is. CREST is a workforce development program. It's called the Coalition Responsible for Excellence and Skills Training. It's actually another program that's funded by the National Science Foundation as part of their excellent program. And the idea behind it was that historically, workforce development has been something that's hugely fragmented and siloed. And so a lot of times you'll have community colleges trying to work alone to have their workforce development programs, but that's hard to sustain because you need the capital to continue the training. And sometimes it's difficult to do the right outreach into the community to get people into the classes and whatnot. And then you've got the community organizations that are trying to do workforce. They are deeply embedded in the community. But what they lack is they lack the capital to keep that going and to support the people in the community. And then you've got the enterprises, all the money in the world, the industry, all the money in the world. And then what they do is they try to have their own on-the-job or workforce training, and they try to hire people and get them trained up. But that's not part of their core competency. And when you as a business are doing something that's not part of your core competency, you're now being distracted from the central part of your business. And that is now that is risk. So the idea is, and that's also not your expertise, that training people to do stuff. So we had the realization that says, well, actually, if you take these three players in the ecosystem, it turns out that the strengths of each of these players, like if you imagine a triangle, the strength of each of these players actually supports the weaknesses of the other players. Hmm. And so what if we could bring all three of these, break the silos down and bring an engineer a way to bring all of these players together in a coalition? And that's where the Coalition Responsible for Excellence and Skills Training, that model, the CREST model, came from. And so NSF gave us funding to get some preliminary evidence, like, here, run a pilot, see how you can make it work, and then hopefully we can learn from this. And if it does work, you can use the iCORE Hub as a distribution channel so that these workforce development programs can be distributed to all the different parts in your region. So that's what we've been working on. We said with CREST, let's just try to do the hardest thing. We are going to try to take people who might have a little bit of high school education, like physical science or biology and stuff like that, and we're going to transform them into nationally certified biotechnicians in 90 days.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, kind of crazy. And so, but the idea was, if we were able to successfully showcase that, then there are other technologies and sectors and industries that are more achievable than that. So that means these other things can be achievable. So if we want to do cybersecurity, that's a different training paradigm, but biotechnician training is crazy, right?
Yeah.
So we did that. We ran an experiment. What we did is we went to a high school instructor named Missy Bunch, and she basically is the one that developed the high school biotech training standards in Tennessee. And we said, hey, I remember going to her and saying, hey, I know you got a 3-year course. Can you shrink that course into 90 days? And so, you know, I remember she's looking at me crazy, and I'm like, hear me out. If I do the math and your students are, you know, per week in school for like 2 to 3, in your class for like 2 hours, if we were to take those hours and condense them into a 9-to-5 training program that's every day, the math actually works out.
Yeah.
That you could train people literally in 90 days. So we gave it a shot. She reformatted her curriculum into a 90-day curriculum. There's something called the BASE exam, and the BASE exam is a biotechnology, like, national certification. So the idea is we would lean on our community partners, because they're the ones that are connected to the community, and they would support the recruitment of participants to go through this training. We would lean on the enterprises to provide some funding and for the connection to employment as soon as they come out of the training program. And then we would lean on the community colleges. Once this proof of concept is done, then that training can actually be deployed at the community colleges all across the state.
Wow.
And then you can have this, you know, kind of training, this new training paradigm kind of pop up. So we ran that, and first outcome was that we successfully, so we only had two participants. One participant had to leave for personal reasons, but the other participant stayed in. And that participant went through the 90 days, took the exam, and passed.
Wow. That's awesome. That's
so got the national biotechnician certification. And so now we're at the point where we're trying to recruit more enterprises. We're trying to also diversify what training programs we can expand to. Some of the things in my mind are like, we need to be looking at quantum. We need to be looking at nuclear. We need to be looking at these emerging technologies. There are people out here that have the wherewithal to go and to become the STEM workforce of the future, but we just need to get this process out there so we can transform opportunity. And from an upward economic mobility perspective, someone comes into the program, when they're going through the training, they're getting paid. Mm-hmm. So in our program, we were giving stipends at $20+ per hour. And then when they get the real job is $25+ per hour. So that means somebody who's working for $10 an hour comes into the program, immediate upward economic mobility. Gets the job stepping foot out of the program, even more upward economic mobility. And so that's
awesome.
That's what the CREST model is trying to bring together, and we just hope to be able to deploy that. So at the same time that this innovation ecosystem is coming up and all these tech startups are coming out, all these new technologies, the people in the community are also getting value and getting training to be able to participate in this prosperity of the region.
Very cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We asked this question of everybody. What's one piece of advice you'd give to someone starting out as an entrepreneur or a small business owner?
Yeah, so I'm probably going to go way, you know, most people will say, oh, you know, you got to find a team. You know, you got to, you know, a lot of people would point you in a direction of, oh, you got to start the LLC or the C Corp. I'm going to go way before that because that's where we live. We live way before that. The very first thing I usually tell people, I'm going to start with the people who don't have an idea, because there's some people who want to start a business that actually don't have an idea yet and just kind of out here. Two things. Either find people who have a problem or a problem that affects a lot of people. Yeah. That's the key. And once you find that, then that's when you come up with a solution for that problem for those people. And that is your first step. That's like the innovation process. Coming up with an idea that ends the suffering of other people creates positive value change, which is the definition of innovation, that positive value change. So if you do that in the beginning, that's, you're already creating value. And so then business people, then when they hear that, they're like, oh, well, I can do something with value. Because then you build a financially sustainable business model around that value you've created, such that as you give the value to other people, you're earning enough money to pay for yourself and to pay for your company's process in creating value for more people. So that's why I tell people who don't have the idea yet. Now, if someone comes with an idea, I'm going to say it just like I told y'all before. I always ask, who is the customer? Who is the customer? And if you don't know that, go find out. And the easiest way to go find out is to make a hypothesis in your mind of who you think your customer is and go talk to 20 of those people and ask three simple questions. The first question is, tell me about, you know, what you normally do day to day. Question two, what are the problems and challenges that affect you doing that sort of work, doing that? And number three, what solutions are you currently using or trying to buy or trying to implement to solve that problem? And the answer to those three questions from those customers will literally give you a blueprint for what you as a business person can create to solve their problem and roll out. And if all 20 of those people you talk to have the same problem, and then you talk to 50 more and they have the same problem, and they're all responding to you with, you know, as you observe them, they're like furrowing their brow and they're getting exasperated and they're like, oh, this is not working. Oh, you're on to something. And that is evidence that you're onto something, not just your own thoughts. And that's what investors respond to. That's what the government responds to. That's what co-founders respond to. That's what potential partners respond to. They respond to evidence, and you get that from talking to the customer. So that's the advice I usually go to. I go to the very beginning, because I learned this the hard way. If you don't have that, you can put millions of dollars into something, and it can fail.
Right, who's gonna buy it?
Because who's going to buy? You built something no one wants, and you built something that no one needs. Build something that people need. And that's my advice.
Very awesome. So where would someone go to find out more about I-Corps and all that y'all do at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, so go to midsouthhub.org. So it's like midsouthhub.org. Man, I'm glad I spelled that right. I was visualizing it. I was like, don't get it wrong. Yeah, go there. We constantly, probably on a monthly basis, update the cohorts. You can see the cohorts from all across the region. So if you're in Arkansas, you can go there and see what cohorts are being offered near Arkansas. Or if you're in Arkansas and you want to take a program in Virginia, you can, because it's virtual.
Yeah.
So it's stuff like that. There are also other things that we're adding to that website. So we're going to start adding some CREST announcements to the website. We're going to start talking about some successful teams that have gone through in their personal journeys. Man, it's something incredible when I'm talking to undergrads. And they're kind of like, they have like the most energy, and they're like, yo, I can really do this, but you know, is it even possible? And I'm like, yo, you need to let me pull up your LinkedIn real quick or pull up your Google. And then you show them somebody from like like 4 years
yeah.
ago, who was a sophomore or a junior, and now they have this big federally funded company. And it's like, this could be you if you follow the process. We're starting to put some stories like that onto that website mm-hmm. as well. So Vanderbilt information is on there with regard to I-Corps. If you want to know more about the national I-Corps program, NSF.gov. If you just simply go into a Google website and you type I-CORPS, enter, the NSF.gov website should come up, and you can explore the national program. You can learn more about the I-Corps hub structure. One thing that I didn't mention is that every I-Corps hub has a hub director. So I'm the hub director of the Mid-South I-Corps hub, and we all sit on a council called the Hub Council. And then every 2 years, the Hub Council will elect basically the point person or leader of the NIN, which is a National Innovation Network. And so for the next 2 years, that's me. So I'm actually the national chair of the National Innovation Network. So, and it's a, you know, it's a, I think it's a very exciting time because people are becoming aware of the two different things, either entrepreneurship or workforce development. Mm-hmm. And we are at the center of both of those things. So just as a summary, MedSouthHub.org, check that out. Also check out the NSF website, NSF.gov, and that will lead you down the rabbit hole to success.
Very awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate the time to be able to sit down and talk to you all, and I'm just hopeful that this reaches the ears of someone because, you know, people think that all the stuff that we have around us kind of just always existed, mm-hmm. but that's not the case. Like somebody made this microphone, like somebody made this table. Like a lot of those people weren't Einstein level people. It was just people that were out here that saw a problem and then started working on it and then put a team together. And now it's this huge product and this huge brand. And so my hope is that I just want to find people that want to create value for other people in the suffering of other people and then do it in a way that helps themselves and helps the community at large. And so thank you all for giving me this opportunity to even talk about these programs because we might be able to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Nashville, for listening to Business as Usual. Again, my name is Bailey.
And I'm Corey.
Dr. Bell, thank you so much again for coming out and talking to us about this. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. So much.
Yeah.